The following is a series of audio clips recorded on the main quad of the University of Chicago between 12 and 3 p.m. on Friday, May 3rd, 2024. It features interviews by members of the Chicago Maroons podcast section with pro-Palestine and pro-Israel demonstrators. The views expressed in these interviews are those of the individual speaking and do not necessarily represent the views of the Chicago Maroon or the university. We first spoke with Aaron Weinberg, a fourth year in the college and, according to him, the only Jewish member of student government. We found him on the pro-Israel side of the quad.
Why have you come out today?
Well, I wasn't actually supposed to be here. My birthday's tomorrow, I was supposed to be going on a trip with my parents. Flight got canceled, wake up to a million texts seeing what's going on here. And obviously I'm very concerned about the safety on campus. I'm really worried that a lot of students, particularly members of the Jewish community, are feeling very threatened by this. And I hope that, you know, this can return to a little bit more of a stable main quad. I don't really have an official position. I'm just here to see what's happening. But I admire that you guys at the Maroon are out here covering this. You've had great coverage so far. I've enjoyed reading it. And I hope the administration takes action because I'm really worried this could escalate.
We then asked Aaron how he felt about the administration's response to the encampments. At around 9 a.m. that morning, University President Paula Levi-Santos sent an email entitled Effects of the Encampment to the University Community, where he called for an end to the encampment after talks between the administration and pro-Palestinian protesters failed. At this point, there was a heavy police presence. UCPD officers in riot gear lined the center of the quad, forming a divide between the encampment and pro-Palestinian demonstrators to the west and pro-Israeli demonstrators to the east.
Well, the university is in a difficult position because it has two competing and important values to balance. You know, free speech, which look, you know, I may not agree with the speech. I think it may be oftentimes calling for violence against, you know, Jewish and Israeli students. But it's speech nonetheless, and I understand that, and I understand they have legitimate concerns. But similarly, there's the safety and the fundamental right of for students to have dignity and respect on campus that's being violated by an encampment that is pretty much forcing everyone to interact with, disrupting their studies, getting across campus. I think the administration's done a relatively good job compared to peer institutions. I really like the email President Levi-Santos sent out earlier today, and I hope that those words will be followed up by actions, and if there will be protests moving forward, they'll be in line with university policies, which in my view are more than generous enough to permit Palestinian demonstrations without this sort of display that has already turned violent today.
And what is your thought on the march flag to the quad?
The Fiji one?
Yes.
Well, look, the only flag that should be flying on that flagpole is the American flag. We're in the United States, and I think it's incredibly disrespectful of any protesters to take it down and try to replace it with their own flag. Frankly, I think, you know, we should be really lucky to be in this country. As flawed as it is, it's affording free speech like this, and you're not going to find that in Gaza. Let's be clear about that.
We then made our way back towards the encampments. Behind the wall of pro-Palestinian demonstrators stood Adam Hammond, a faculty member in the biophysical sciences. He stood silently, gazing at the crowd with a pensive expression. News helicopters were circling overhead at this point.
How do you feel about the president's response to the encampments that you saw this morning and over the course of the week?
I was disappointed. The arguments were intellectually weak compared to the eloquence of the students. And I think before any kind of action can be taken, the Calvin Report says there needs to be an intellectually strong justification that such things shouldn't be undertaken lightly. Any violation of academic freedom or freedom of expression should be very serious. So I was concerned when I saw that he seemed to be indicating that there would be a response. but hasn't really offered anything, logically coherent about it. So I hope he'll correct that. I did send him a note to that effect. I mean, he certainly hasn't convinced me that action is necessary.
Do you think other faculty sympathize, or what's your sense?
By far the faculty are a majority in support of this, or at least the faculty that I know.
We then spoke with Pietro, a third year in the college who was linking arms with other pro-Palestinian demonstrators in front of Kent. Pietro said he served on college council this year.
So I think that there are generally like two different ways that students are kind of going about trying to enact change. Either by like speaking with admin themselves and trying to get them to agree to terms peacefully, or through some more disruptive protests. And I think there's this misconception that people are protesting right now without having tried the first option.
Right.
But I can very much testify that the first option was tried. I was on college council this year, and I can guarantee you that we have met with the provost, we have met with the president, and had conversations about divesting from fossil fuels, divesting from Israel, multiple times in the past. And those are things that have repeatedly been denied and shut down and obfuscated from. So this protest, I think, is one of the only ways left that students really have to express their voice and have the university listen. And I think President Alvesados' responses have been intentionally vague. There's been a lack of a timeline given to the protesters.
Well, and also intentionally provocatory, I think.
Yeah. So, to me, it's a fear-mongering tactic. Like,
right.
By saying, you have violated a university policy, we're going to pursue disciplinary action. The time has come now to take that action.
That was crazy.
But there's sort of no timeline given, no exact policies that people have been accused of breaking, what those disciplinary measures would be. All of it is just to increase this fear and pressure of, there's this kind of unknown attack that's going to be coming onto these students.
Yeah.
I think the lack of a detail that being given is very much an intentional choice, meant to foster more fear. And that, to me, is the most reprehensible part of this. Like,
right.
If the president disagrees with what's going on here, I mean, he, as an individual person, is entitled to do so, but this sort of turning to fear-mongering tactics, lack of providing any specificities to how we're going to go forward, all of that, to me, is the most reprehensible part of all of this.
Thank you.
As we headed back to the pro-Israeli side of the quad, we spotted someone in a black cowboy hat and sunglasses who introduced himself as Arthur Long, a fourth year in the college. We approached him because we heard that towards the beginning of the protests at 12:30, he had been involved in rushing the flagpole but was body-blocked by pro-Palestinian demonstrators. The day before, pro-Palestinian demonstrators hoisted the flag of Palestine up to replace the American flag. Overnight, UCPD officers took it down and cut the flagpole's halyard.
So you were involved in some sort of physical altercation earlier with protesters.
Yeah, that's right.
Could you run that down for me?
Sure. So we started off over here, and we were kind of marching in.
Towards the encampment?
Yeah. Original plan was to put the American flag back up on the flagpole. Obviously, the Palestinian flag was there. As of, I think, this morning, it was down, so it was down to the flagpole. So that was our intent. Obviously, when we got into like the center of the quad, they kind of formed ranks, shields, not letting anybody through. We weren't trying to escalate anything. We weren't going to get violent, so we just kind of stood there and kind of had like a chant off. After I'd say 2 or 3 minutes, they started kind of pushing at us with their shields. And at that point, somebody grabbed the speaker we had and then grabbed my American flag. And at that point, for about 5-10 seconds, all hell kind of broke loose. I had to retrieve the flag. They broke the speaker. We had to get the speaker back. And then we kind of, pushed back a little bit because we didn't want to escalate it further.
Thank you. How do you feel about what you're seeing here now?
This is fine. Like I said, I'm fine with, people protesting for what they care about. That's one of the reasons I came to Chicago, is because we have a commitment to, protect that and have that. But, the issue is, you have a right to freedom of speech. You don't have a right to vandalize buildings. You don't have a right to obstruct the walkways of our campus and disrupt learning. So that's kind of where I'm at. If this was smaller, they didn't disrupt learning, they didn't block the walkways, I'd be completely fine with it. But that's not where we're at right now. And I think the university's going to act soon, as you saw with the email.
How do you feel about the university's response?
Sure. So I think they've done a great job. President Alvesados has done a great job so far in terms of letting them have their space and exercising their right. But in his first email, he explicitly said, you know, you're breaking university policy. But he didn't really draw a line in the sand. He said, we're going to let you do it. So I think as a president, you have to be firm and very clear on what you're going to allow and not. Because if not, you're just confusing the students. You know, they don't know where the line is. And then he said, I guess today, this morning, the encampment has reached an end. When that's going to happen, I don't know. A couple of people within UCPD have told me that it's going to happen tomorrow morning. But we'll see.
When you were moving on the flagpole to try to put the American flag back up, were you with some organization?
No, so that's what I think was really cool about today is, so this started, I just posted on SideChat, you know, hey, 12:30 tomorrow, this is what we're going to do. And then we had a ton of organizations, about four or five different fraternities here. We had Jewish organizations, we had Christian organizations. And then when we started walking over from over there, people just started joining us. We're coming out from class, we're walking. You know, I think not that it's super representative, but, you know, I think what we've seen on, like, SideChat, in terms of, like, popular opinion, it shifted very pro, hey, we want our quad clean, we want to get back to learning, we want to enjoy our last 2 weeks of class here.
At this point, officers in yellow vests were forming a half circle on the eastern center of the quad. UCPD officers with riot gear were stationed in a line at the center and prevented people from passing through. As we circled the quad, we spotted a pro-Palestine demonstrator on the front line, facing off with one of the UCPD officers, away from the encampment, holding a sign that said, "Don't hurt my friends."
How do you feel about what you see here today?
I have spent the last 6 months navigating my own identity and my own opinion on the Israel-Palestine conflict. And at the current moment, the one thing I know is that I do not want police arresting my friends, especially considering the videos that I've seen from violent police in Atlanta and in New York. And like I said, I don't know exactly what I believe in all the time, but I do know that I believe that police escalation is not the answer to this. And I think the admin should negotiate in good faith with the protesters. And I think sending the police is dangerous. And that's just, like, that's all I know at the moment, and that's what I'm gonna do.